Well, good morning. I'm told I've got 20 minutes. That means half an hour. I've been doing the crafts all week. And you think you've got plenty of time and you start making something with the children, and then after what seems like no time at all, there's an angry person at the door saying, "You've only got 5 minutes left." And then almost immediately after that, you're getting... because the next group have to come in. So... that's not going to happen today. It's Fiona that used to do that. Oh, she did smile. I smiled back. But it's good to see you all here, and I'm glad so many of you stayed for the sermon. You didn't all opt to go through and make things. That's nice. Hope you're all still thinking that at the end. Let's see. Oh, I've got a blank screen. That's good. Elspeth's already spoken to you about what we told the children. And we talked to them each day, and we talked to them about words beginning with D. Each talk started with a word beginning with D. Monday was direction, and it was the story of Jesus in the temple as the boy, Jesus in the temple. And he was getting direction for his life, and probably also giving some direction to the people he was speaking to in the temple. And then on Tuesday, we talked about distraction. And this was Jesus in the wilderness, being distracted by the devil when he was tempting him to walk away from the life that God had chosen for him. And then we had dedication. We saw dedication in the story of the paralyzed man as his friends brought him to Jesus and stayed with the task and lowered him through the roof so he could get to the front of Jesus to be healed. And we also saw Jesus' dedication in the way that Jesus, despite the people who were sitting at the back, the angry people sitting at the back thinking, not allowed to do that, he forgave his sins and he raised him up and sent him out walking. Jesus was dedicated to his task and would not be put off by people standing at the door saying, "No, we can't do that." Jesus, what did I say? Forgave sins. And then Thursday was determination. And we talked to the children about how Jesus worked through his life with determination and had the determination to see it through the crucifixion, and the determination again to rise from the grave to show how powerful he really was. And then finally we talked about decoration. The final decoration when Jesus was lifted up to heaven and now he sits there at the right hand of God the Father. And then, of course, Elspeth added another D. She added the D for disciples. But now I want to add one more, and that is discovery. We want to find out about discovering Jesus, how the disciples who Jesus called began to discover who this Jesus really was. I want to look at a couple of passages in Matthew's Gospel. And you'll find it maybe useful to get one of the pew Bibles, call them pews, they're actually seats now, from the pocket in front. And if you look at Matthew's Gospel, it's on page 12 of the New Testament section of the Bible. We're going to start by looking at chapter 8, but not quite yet. But it'd be useful if you had that. As Jesus began his ministry in Galilee, all the people who he spoke to, all the people who he came in contact with, all had a different view of who Jesus was. They all saw Jesus in different ways. To many people, Jesus was a healer. To many people, Jesus was a healer. Jesus was a healer because people brought people, the sick people to him, and he would lay his hands on them and he would heal them, like the paralyzed man. And to others, Jesus was a teacher. He was a rabbi. People followed him around, hanging on his every word. They couldn't get enough of his teaching. And the crowd were amazed at his teaching, we're told in Matthew's Gospel. We're told the crowd was amazed at the way he taught. He wasn't like the teachers of the law. Instead, he taught with authority. And Jesus was known by many as a miracle worker. He fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 small fish. He could cast out demons. He could turn water into wine. He could walk on water, and he could raise the dead. And some saw Jesus as a revolutionary leader. The Jewish people in Jesus' day lived under Roman occupation, and they longed for a leader who would unite them against Rome. A leader who would come and re-establish the Jewish nation. And they were looking for this leader. This leader had been promised by God for hundreds of years. He had been promised by God that he would raise up a king in the line of David who would have an everlasting kingdom. And after they were under this occupation, they wanted this king to come. And many people saw Jesus as possibly a revolutionary leader, possibly the king who was promised by God. And many people thought Jesus was a prophet. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said, "Some say you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Others say Elijah, while others say Jeremiah, or some of the other prophets." And there were those who looked at Jesus and said, "Nothing special about him. If it was in Glasgow, they'd say, I kent his feather. When he went back to Nazareth, they said, that's Jesus. He's a carpenter's son." Matthew tells us, they said, "Where did he get such wisdom? Isn't he the carpenter's son?" And to the authorities, Jesus was a troublemaker. Jesus was a threat to political stability. He was a threat to their position with Rome. And to some people, they didn't know what to think. That's what the disciples said. After they had started traveling with Jesus, they came to a point where they said, "What kind of man is this?" Let's go and have a look at the first reading. It's in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to read from verse 18. We talked about Jesus calling the fishermen earlier on, calling the fishermen to leave their boat. But you know, in the first half of Matthew's Gospel, there's a lot of boats, I've discovered. There's about 7 different incidents where Jesus is either getting into or out of a boat, or travelling across the lake, or teaching from a boat. And this is one of these incidents. It's not surprising that boats figure, because they lived around the shore of the Lake Galilee, and that was a mode of transport. If they wanted to go somewhere, it was probably easier to get in a boat and row down the shore. But let's read together. Matthew chapter 8 from verse 18. When Jesus noticed the crowd around him, he ordered his disciples to go to the other side of the lake. A teacher of the law came to him. "Teacher," he said, "I am ready to go with you wherever you go." And Jesus answered him, "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lie down and rest." Another man who was a disciple said, "Sir, first let me go back and bury my father." "Follow me," Jesus answered. "Let the dead bury their own dead." Jesus got into a boat, and his disciples went with him. Suddenly, a fierce storm hit the lake and the boat was in danger of sinking. But Jesus was asleep. The disciples went and woke him up. "Save us, Lord," they said. "We are about to die." "Why are you so frightened?" Jesus answered. "What little faith you have." Then he got up and ordered the winds and the waves to stop. And there was a great calm. And everyone was amazed. "What kind of man is this?" they said. "Even the winds and the waves obey him." First of all, in this passage, we see Jesus preparing to take his disciples away. Most likely he's wanting to take them away for some private teaching. He wants to take them away from the demands of the crowd so he can instruct them more closely. And in the exchanges that we see at the beginning of the passage, there are 2 would-be disciples who come to Jesus. And in the exchanges, we get some idea of the commitment that Jesus sees as necessary for those who would follow him. Jesus hides nothing. He knows that being his disciple will be difficult. In fact, those being called don't seem to realize that what Jesus is doing is he's calling them to a lifelong commitment. He's calling them to a new way of life, a way of life that none of them could have ever imagined for themselves. Nothing, as I said, is hidden. Jesus says, if you come with me, it will be difficult. He tells the teacher of the law, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lie down and rest. Do you really want to live like that? Do you want to sign up for a life of uncertainty? And to the disciple who wants first to bury his father, Jesus says, you can't look back if you come with me. So why did people in Jesus' day want to follow him? I mentioned earlier that Jesus taught with authority. He had something about him. He had something that we might call charisma, perhaps. Although that word hadn't been invented then. Despite the dire warnings and the difficulties which lay ahead, people trusted Jesus. They were willing to follow him, at least for a while. But unfortunately, both in Jesus' day and today, not everyone who encountered Jesus with his authority was willing to respond in trust and to pledge allegiance to Jesus and to his mission. Many see Jesus' authority as a threat. Many see that pledging allegiance to Jesus could be a threat to their culture or their social background. Following Jesus might well mean leaving behind certain friends or certain activities that maybe don't fit with a Christian lifestyle. And some even find that Jesus' claims and teaching threaten their religious outlook. They see Jesus' claims as being too exclusive, too extreme even. And they'll not accept that Jesus is the only way to salvation. But let's go back and look to the passage. In verse 23 and 24, you see Jesus and his disciples, they get into the boat and they set out. Now, remember that these men with Jesus are mainly fishermen. They are men accustomed to being out on the water in bad weather. So this storm which blew up must have been really bad. And they are in fear of their lives. And yet Jesus is asleep. Verse 25, we see a mark there of the respect and the trust that they had for Jesus. They go to him for help. Remember, they are the fishermen and he is the carpenter. What would he know about sailing a boat, let alone sailing a boat in a storm? Yet they believe, through what they have heard him say and what they have seen him do, that Jesus will be able to save them. And he does. The wind and the waves are ordered to stop, and there is a great calm. And this leaves them amazed and asking, what kind of man is this? These disciples are beginning to discover that there is so much more to this teacher, to this Jesus who they're following. He has command even over the forces of nature. Can you imagine the atmosphere in that boat? The atmosphere as they continued their journey in the calm, the awestruck silence, the whispered speculations. What kind of man is this? Turn over a few pages to Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verse 22. Here's another incident, another story that involves a boat and some water. I think it's the sixth such incident in Matthew's Gospel. And this passage comes directly after Jesus has fed the 5,000. And by this time, Jesus has narrowed down and chosen his 12 disciples and named them back in chapter 10. And these 12 disciples have seen more of Jesus' healing, more of his miracles, and they have received more of his teaching about the kingdom of heaven. And they have been even sent out in pairs to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of heaven. But now has come the time for them to be pushed just a little bit further in their voyage of discovery of who Jesus is. Let's read together Matthew 14 from verse 22. Then Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the lake, while he sent the people away. That's the people who he just fed with the loaves and the fish. After sending the people away, he went up a hill by himself to pray. And when evening came, Jesus was there alone. And by this time, the boat was far out on the lake, tossed about by the waves because the wind was blowing against it. Between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to the disciples walking on the water. When they saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and screamed with fear. And Jesus spoke to them at once. "Courage," he said, "it is I. Don't be afraid." Then Peter spoke up. "Lord, if it is really you, order me to come out on the water to you." "Come," answered Jesus. So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water to Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he was afraid and started to sink down in the water. "Save me, Lord," he cried. At once, Jesus reached out and grabbed hold of him and said, "What little faith you have. Why did you doubt?" They both got into the boat and the wind died down, and the disciples worshipped Jesus. "Truly, you are the Son of God," they exclaimed. After feeding the 5,000, Jesus had obviously wanted some time alone, and he'd sent off the disciples in the boat. He wanted to spend time in prayer with his Heavenly Father. And he knew he could catch them up. He knew he could walk on the water and join them later. We might ask, did Jesus do this deliberately? Was it a deliberate act so that he could give another sign to his disciples? I expect it was. And this account of Peter walking on the water to Jesus carries a number of lessons. So many that I'm not going to go into them, but let's just quickly run through a few ideas. We can see from this that of all the disciples, Peter was the only one who had sufficient courage, sufficient faith to believe that he could walk on water. And as long as he was focused on Jesus, he managed fine. It was only when he started to think about what he was doing, when he started to see the physical danger that he might be in, it was only when he took his eyes off Jesus that he started to sink. And we can say that this is faith, what faith is all about. It's all about trusting Jesus. Or we could draw a lesson from Jesus saving Peter. You see, the way Jesus reached out and saves him immediately, there's no real condemnation there. It's just a rescue. And you can also see the lesson, Jesus has no condemnation either for the 11 disciples who stayed safe in the boat. He doesn't rebuke them for not having a go. And we can also look at the recorded fact that Peter, who by his own admission, you'll find it in the book of Acts, Peter says, "I am only a man." Peter, who was only a man, actually walked on water. And we can look at that and we can say that with Jesus, anything is possible. But today I just want to note one thing. And that is the point that the disciples had come to. The point in their relationship with Jesus. The point when they discovered and they put into words that this Jesus was really the Son of God. They were now convinced that Jesus was the Son of God. We have a huge advantage over these disciples. We can look back over 2,000 years of history, back to that occasion. We can look back and see what these disciples were actually living through. They were only part of the way through the experience. We can look back and see it in its totality. These disciples in the boat with Jesus may have worshipped him as the Son of God, but they still had to live through and they still had to make sense of the resurrection and the crucifixion and the resurrection. But we can look back to Jesus' death on the cross and understand that it was the ultimate sacrifice for all of our sins, for all the wrong that we have done. That's why Jesus was able to forgive sins, because he knew that he was going to die on the cross for the sins of everyone, past, present, and future. So he had the authority to say, your sins are forgiven. I'm going to take care of that. We can even take Jesus' death and resurrection as a starting point for our faith. Knowing that because Jesus, in his death, paid the penalty for our sins, we sinners have been made acceptable to God. And because of Jesus' resurrection and because of his ascension, we can be confident that he is there in heaven at the Father's side, pleading our case, naming us as his friends. I mentioned earlier on, Jesus is the only way to God. And it's something which is worth remembering. And you can go back and look at various passages in Matthew's Gospel and other Gospels where Jesus not only talked about the glorious hope and the glorious future, but he taught with the warning. The warning that if you don't follow him, if you do not accept that he is your Savior, if you do not accept that he is the only way to God, then there will be a division at the end of time. Read for yourself the story that Jesus taught in Matthew 13 about the wheat and the weeds. Jesus concluded that by saying, the Son of Man will send out his angels, this is at the end of time, to gather up out of his kingdom all those who caused people to sin and all the others who do evil things, and they will be, and he will throw them into the fiery furnace where they will cry and gnash their teeth. This was the other half of the reality that Jesus taught. That's why he was so determined that people knew that he was the way to the Father. Jesus' teaching was quite clear. Quite clear to those who would listen and those who would understand. God's plan meant that he wanted everyone to be saved. He wanted everyone to have the opportunity to enter his kingdom. But the way forward was quite simple. First of all, people had to accept that they needed salvation. Then they had to accept that Jesus was the Savior. And they had to accept and they had to trust Jesus. Trust in his death on the cross to be sufficient payment for all the wrong that they had done, making them acceptable to God. The disciples in the boat knew nothing of all of this. All they could see was that Jesus was no mere mortal. They were now convinced that he was the Son of God. But more than that, they still had to discover. Today, just as in Jesus' day, Jesus is seen in different ways by different people. Jesus is a great teacher. We can learn so much from what he says. And if we follow the way that he teaches, our lives will definitely be changed. Jesus is a great healer. Even today, Jesus brings physical and emotional healing to those who call out to him for help. Jesus is a miracle worker. Prayers are answered, and miracles still happen And Jesus is a revolutionary. He wants to lead men and women into a different direction to that of the world. He wants to lead men and women in the direction of eternal life. He wants to lead them to heaven. And Jesus, yes, Jesus was a simple carpenter. And people can look at that and say, Jesus was a carpenter. And that's great. Because he lived and he worked on this earth as a human being. And he knows the struggles that we face, the struggles that we have to work through in this life. That's why he's in heaven at the Father's side saying, I know the trouble that these people have to suffer because I suffered it myself. And Jesus is a prophet. Make no mistake. A prophet tells it how it is. The prophet, Jesus, speaks only the truth, and you can read his truth in the Gospels. It's there. There for us to read, there for us to listen to. And if we listen to it and we understand what he says, we realize that he is the only way. He is the way for us to gain salvation and to enter eternal glory. And yes, Jesus is a troublemaker. Following Jesus isn't easy. He never said it would be. Following Jesus will bring trouble in your life. It will bring conflict. But Jesus promises to stand with us and to be there to answer our cries for help. Jesus is all these things. All these things. But we need to discover the whole Jesus, the Jesus who is the Son of God. We sang at the very beginning of the service the text which we taught the children. It's from Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. And it's quite simply that. You can read it there. It's, let us run with determination the race that lies before us. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends. That's the text, and that's the way that we should live through our lives. As Peter stepped out of the boat and started walking on the water, his eyes were fixed on Jesus. His faith was fixed on Jesus. It was only when he took his eyes off Jesus, only when he started to question, only when he started to doubt, it was only then that he began to sink. Remember that picture of Jesus saving Peter. And if you can, remember the text. The text is there. Running with determination the race that lies before us and keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends. Amen, and may God bless to us the preaching of his word.